From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the man American Pharoah rides when he wants to go fast. Bill Kerr. And here's your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Mike Pesca.
Thank you. Hello, I am Mike Pesca. I am host of The Gist. It's a podcast where I talk about things in the news, where I interview people, where I occasionally make wisecracks. I cannot figure out how that qualifies me for this job. We will be joined by a true female icon. She sets trends. She inspires art. She captivates millions worldwide. She is Kim Kardashian. You were thinking I'd say Sonia Sotomayor, weren't you? Kim will be joining us later. Now it's your turn to play our games. Give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. And it's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hello, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi there. This is Brian Miller from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hey, Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
What do you do there in Alexandria?
Well, I work for the U.S. Department of Education, mm-hmm. Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services.
And for, not that that doesn't sound like fun, but what do you do for fun?
Well, I do sing in a barbershop chorus. That's fun.
Really?
Aww, that's
you
nice.
Buried the lead, dude!
Yeah.
Come on. Now, Brian, I want to introduce you to our panel. First up, it's a comedian who will be performing at the Brea Improv in California from June 26th to 28th. It's Maz Jobrani.
Hello.
Next, she can only sing awesome. The bass notes. It's the woman behind the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy. It's Amy Dickinson. Finally, a former writer for The Colbert Report and Late Night with Seth Meyers, Peter Gross.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you.
You are going to play Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you could correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready?
I am.
Here's your first quote.
Have a nice day.
That was the message written on a Post-it note left in the Clinton Correctional Facility by whom?
Is that the two guys who escaped from the penitentiary in New York?
That is correct. The two escaped prisoners. Two prisoners escaped this week from what had heretofore been described as a maximum security prison in upstate New York, beginning to question the definition. And all week long, the country followed as police hunted for Richard Matt and David Sweat. Matt and Sweat, as they're known. What are these guys? The hosts of Hot 102's Matt and Sweat in the Morning? Funny as that seems, no, they're two dangerous murderers.
I know, but I love the fact that they were headed to Vermont for a little, like, B&B, some quilts. But you know what? They're going to be so pissed when they find out that syrup season is over.
That's right.
Like, I wouldn't want to deal with them.
In the clink, the colors never change.
Right.
And so did we decide to call them Matt and Sweat instead of Sweat Matt?
Yeah. Right. That was the local yoga studio's promotion.
I live in New York City, and there are brilliant Governor Andrew Cuomo said they could be anywhere in the whole country.
Yeah.
Just like, so he there's like a small area of New York where people are paranoid. Don't make some grandmother in Arizona be like, they're here.
That's right.
They could be anywhere.
Like, there was one other really interesting, let's say interesting note to this, that there was an officer, they say that they might have gotten help from the inside, and then there was one officer who was quoted that saying that Sweat has a way with the ladies, and he told the New York Post, quote, in all frankness, he's very well endowed.
Wow.
Yep.
Wait, Sweat told the New York Post that, or the source told the New York Post?
Sweat obviously paid off the source to give him excellent PR.
Oh, my gosh.
So was that the tool?
That's true. Yeah. He got his hands on some power tools.
Yeah, I don't need a chisel.
Have fun.
I got that covered.
All right, here's your next quote, Brian.
He fed his enemies to a giant snake and tortured and killed muggles just for fun. But he's still polling better than Mike Huckabee, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, and Rick Santorum.
That's the Washington Post recalling the various crimes committed by the man who really is polling better than a good chunk of the GOP presidential field. Who is that fictional character?
Oh, is that the Voldemort?
Voldemort, yeah.
Good for you.
It gets a little worse if you're a second, third, or fourth tier GOP candidate, because they're also, or I should say that they polled, I should say that others are polling better than a bunch of current GOP nominees. Seriously, they did polls, and here's who's doing better: the Terminator, Darth Vader, and the shark from Jaws.
Oh my God.
How do they even?
What about like IP Freely? You know, how's he doing?
Any random collection of letters.
How do they take that poll with a straight face? Like, is it like five Republican candidates and Jaws, and then they do that, or is it like I question the methodology?
And who are they?
Or are they like I can only pick one?
Who are they polling? I mean, are these people led to believe that Voldemort's actually running?
Or? Probably.
Well, you know, he might run. He polls well on executive experience. He polls well as a guy you'd want to share a butterbeer with. He strongly understands the problems of muggles like me. He does very well with Quidditch moms. I mean, there's a lot. What I'm saying is there's a lot to say for Voldemort, comparatively. You know, this poll proves one thing, that no one's really breaking through the pile of Republican candidates. So we're going to give you, the voting public, a helping hand in a new segment called Get to Know a Candidate Who Will Never Be President. So let's get to know South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham this week. Mr. Graham, a lifelong bachelor, was asked who would fill the role of First Lady. He told the Daily Mail, well, I've got a sister. She could play that role if necessary. I've got a lot of friends. We'll have a rotating First Lady. Which raises so many questions. How will she be rotating? Will it be a pedestal? Will it be like a rotisserie or a spit? Will it be like a gyro at the Greek place? As president, he'll have a state dinner. All right, shave off a little slice of First Lady for this one.
It would be a great reality show, like, who's going to be the First Lady this week? Totally. Just take people from all walks of life, you know, like whoever it is, and just...
At the end, the very touching bald eagle ceremony.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Will you come to meet the Chinese premier with me? Yeah. He should have, like, a dude there. Like, he should just be like, hey, it's my buddy, he's here. Like, this is a Scooch. Scooch and I went to college together. He's going to sit here. Now, don't do anything dumb, Scooch. It doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to have the first lady.
I don't know.
First buddy.
First buddy, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Brian, here is your last quote.
Sex has never been more boring.
That was a headline from Vox about what company's new attempt to track your sex life.
Oh, Google?
It's not Google. It is a different tech company.
Facebook.
Apple.
Oh, man.
Listen, I'm sure the other two have designs, too. In announcing its new operating system, Apple said that as part of the reproductive health section within the HealthKit app, there will be a sexual activity tracking feature.
So you put it into the app for yourself to read? Am I rating my wife or am I rating myself?
When you had sex last night? I mean, like, you know this.
I wish I were having that much sex where I would forget I had sex.
I could count to one. Yeah, I don't need a computer to help me count to one.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You're basically showing off to your iPhone. Hey, iPhone, guess who got some last night? That's right, Daddy-O.
My wife does have a slide to unlock button on her stomach.
Bill, how did Brian do?
Brian got 2 out of 3, so he's a winner.
Brian, thank you so much for playing.
Thank you. It was fabulous.
Take care. Great job.
Thank you.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Moz, the MERS outbreak continues to spread, and the World Health Organization is stepping up its fight. Namely, they are asking people to, despite the temptation, to stop drinking what?
Water?
Well, I'll give you a hint. It is worse when your camel has eaten asparagus.
Pee.
Camel pee. Yeah.
Stop drinking camel pee.
Stop. Fight the urge.
All right.
To drink camel urine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right.
What are we going to do in the green room?
Can I start tomorrow, please?
Okay.
The latest outbreak of MERS, or Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, has prompted the World Health Organization, or the WHO, to release a document called Who's on MERS? They say, quote, people should avoid drinking camel urine. Again, this instruction is under MERS guidelines, not under things I can't believe we had to tell you.
You know, I'm Jewish, so I can't drink the pee of a cloven-hoofed animal.
That's right.
So I would not be drinking camel pee. You know.
Right. Except camels, I don't think, have cloven hooves.
Don't they?
But goats.
Goats.
Or
well, then.
Or cows.
Let
that would just be a problem.
Let me make a list of the animals whose pee I cannot drink. Okay, so cows, yes.
Well, I think the World Health Organization is really worried because camel urine is widely known as a gateway urine. The next thing you know, it's giraffe urine. They're on to Tasmanian devil urine. LSD? No, elephant pee.
Can't we just give them water?
I never thought of that.
I'm thinking outside the box. Fuji water. This is an opportunity for Fuji water to just show up. Be like, yo, stop drinking the pee. Try the Fuji.
Yeah.
I'll be the spokesperson. Hi, I'm Maz Jobrani. For Fuji water.
But you'd have to say, I used to drink loads and loads of camel pee.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis, and if you know me, you know I'm a guy who loves to eat. Cooking, not so much, but Blue Apron makes it easy by delivering all the ingredients you need to make delicious meals like Thai chicken meatballs with red coconut curry and bok choy, or pan-seared steaks with green peppercorn sauce and roasted fingerling potatoes. It's time to discover a better way to cook. Visit blueapron.com/NPR to get your first two meals free.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Maz Jobrani, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Mike Pesca.
Thank you, Bill. And right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hello, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Kelly from Royal Oak, Michigan.
Hi, Kelly. How are you? What do you do up there in Royal Oaks?
I'm an industrial food caterer.
Uh-huh. Industrial food. So that's like with a lot of metal and bars in it. How's that work?
Exactly. It's super delicious. No, we make the food for catering trucks that go to big factories, you know, the big silver trucks with the doors that flip up and...
Yes, the kind that you would never call a roach coach. That's what we called them when I was working a factory job.
They're the original food trucks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, it is nice to have you with us, Kelly, and you're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. What is the topic, Bill?
Please don't hug it out.
So, despite our best efforts, the gang from HBO's Entourage, Vinny, Turtle, Ari, the Professor, Marianne, they're all still alive. And this week, in time for the release of the Entourage movie that no one asked for, we read a story about how the TV show franchise is ruining people's lives. Guess the real story, and you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. First up, it's Maz Jobrani.
The lunch rush at an Indian restaurant can be pretty hectic. If there's a lunch special, it gets even crazier. That must be the reason why the owner of India Castle in Cambridge, Massachusetts, has had an old poster of the TV show Entourage hanging in the front of his place for 5 years and hasn't even noticed it. Rabir Singh, owner of India Castle, who said he's never even heard of the show, first denied having the poster in his restaurant. Then he walked to the front and remembered, oh, this has been here forever. Singh said a representative from a local TV station made him a deal. Let us come change the poster in the box every 2 weeks, and we'll pay you. in what sounds like a ploy straight from the TV show's shady agent Ari Gold, Singh said he can't remember how much he was supposed to be paid because a representative put the Entourage poster in and never came back. In an even shadier move, the rep didn't even give Singh a key to open the frame. Now Singh is left with a poster he doesn't want from a show he doesn't know in a stupid case he can't get rid of. So until a locksmith volunteers to help Mr. Singh open the case and get rid of the old poster, he will have to keep walking by wondering, who the hell are these guys? And why can't I get them off my wall?
An Entourage poster haunting an Indian joint from Maz Jobrani. Your next story of someone blaming Entourage for their troubles comes from Peter Gross.
The head of the linguistics department at Columbia University is a widely respected educator who has published 7 books and given thousands of lectures over the last 30 years. Sadly, to his students, Professor Vincent Chase is just the guy with the same name as the lead character from Entourage. Professor Chase, or Aquaman, as he's known to many of his students, teaches an intro to linguistics course that's very popular with many freshmen. I'd like to think it's because my class is so compelling, said Professor Chase, but I know what's really going on. I spent an hour lecturing about the power of language in Noam Chomsky, and at the end, all they ever ask me is, why do you put up with Ari? He's such a jerk. It probably doesn't help that I also have a turtle in my office, a diamondback terrapin that I've had for 20 years, and everyone wants to know if it's my little fat buddy from Queens Boulevard. Oddly enough, Professor Chase harbors no ill will towards the show or the character. I quite like Entourage, he admits. He has to deal with the pressures of being famous, making movies, and young women constantly throwing themselves at him. And I have to deal with people thinking I'm him. We're actually a lot alike.
So that's Professor Vincent Chase from Peter Gross. And your last story of Entourage wreaking havoc in the world outside HBO comes from Amy Dickinson.
Steve Mandel is a soft-spoken literary agent who keeps his voice low and his Ford Taurus in the garage. But over the past 10 years, Mandel's clients have increasingly pressured him to act outrageous and offensive, like the fictional Hollywood super agent Ari Gold in Entourage. Mandel started losing clients as they jumped ship and joined other more aggressive agencies because he wasn't entourage-y enough. So last summer, he spent $10,000 to attend Entourageistan, a week-long entourage boot camp for agents. Campers took seminars called things like the F-bomb and how to throw it, and verbal abuse. It's not just for underlings. Entourage basically ruined my business, but now I'm fighting back, Ari Gold style.
All right, Kelly, there you have the case of the haunted poster in an Indian restaurant, the case of the other Vincent Chase, and the case of the understated agent. Which one of these entourage-y tales is the real one?
I'm going to go for the second one.
The second one. So Vincent Chase, who is up there at Columbia University speaking linguistics. Well, to find out the correct answer, we spoke with someone familiar with the true story.
People were wondering, why doesn't he break the glass or just rip the frame off the wall with some power tools? But it could cost up to $2,500 to remove all proof of the poster.
And that was Allison Poli, a reporter for Boston.com, talking about the Entourage poster. I'm sorry, Kelly, Moz had the real answer.
Mm. All right, never would have guessed it. Good one.
You did not win, unfortunately, but you did earn a point for Moz.
No, for Peter. Peter.
For me, you earned a point.
I'll take it.
Sorry, yeah.
So, that was an Ari Gold move, too.
Yeah. Cool. I just took my 10% of the point. And Kelly, thanks so much. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And now the game where we ask someone who's accomplished great things to accomplish one more. It's called Not My Job. So from time to time, we have someone on the show that we can't believe agreed to be on the show. Kim Kardashian is a producer, an entrepreneur, designer, a mom, a model. She's a tabloid magazine life support system. And now she is a star of public radio. Hello, Kim Kardashian. Welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
So the first thing I want to do, and I know you're here to talk about your book about selfies, but the first thing I want to do is I think the biggest thing in your life, I hear that you and your husband, Kanye West, are expecting your second child, and can the reports be confirmed? Is it a boy?
We actually haven't told anyone the sex. So I heard that we're having a boy. I heard that we're having twins. I heard that I'm not even carrying my own baby. I've heard so many things. and most of the information is not true.
Okay. Well, if anyone needs their privacy respected... You are pregnant, yes? This we know.
This I can confirm.
Okay,
yes.
This we should confirm.
Yay!
It's a baby!
It's a baby! Congratulations, by the way.
Thank
That's
you.
Great news.
Yeah. So your daughter, she's 2 years old. She's named Northwest. Is that her name? Northwest, yes.
Yes.
We know that the Kardashian family naming convention means you begin your names with a K, from what I understand. So I did some research, okay? And what I did was I researched directions in different languages to give you some suggestion for names.
Really?
Yeah, so tell me what you think of these, okay? In Sudanese, the word for south is Kadul.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Kadul. I don't like southwest, though, because that's like, where, you know, north will always, you know, be better and be more, you know, she has a better direction.
Well, yes, and you're setting your kids up for conflict and to be in opposition, aren't you?
Yeah. Exactly. So I wouldn't do that. I don't think we'll go with another direction.
Really? So I have, because I got a bunch. I got in Swahili, the word for east in Swahili is Kati. The word for east in Hungarian is Kalet. I could send you these. I mean, do you have an email? Are you on social media?
I could. No. Send them over.
All right.
You'd be surprised at all the names people do send us.
What are some of the things that people have suggested to you about the name?
I mean, everyone keeps on saying south, and I think it's so stupid. It's the most stupidest thing ever, and just ridiculous.
Kim, it was reported, this I saw pictures about, that you rented out the Staples Center where the Lakers and the Clippers play basketball. You rented it out for a birthday party.
And the Spark, right?
And you played
on their,
and you played on their court because it was a birthday party for your husband, Kanye, and some musical friends like the Biebs and some NBA friends. Am I getting this right? Like James Harden and Carmelo Anthony?
I did rent out the Staples Center, and I always, you know, it's been this big fight where every time I get my daughter something, it could be the smallest toy, or especially when I got her play set, which was her Christmas present. My husband wonders, you know, how come we can't get a basketball court? It's the only thing he requested in the house. You can buy, you know, whatever home you want. We'll move anywhere, whatever city, but all I want is a basketball court. And so I've been ignoring his request for like 2 years. And so I surprised him with building one in the backyard, but it wasn't going to be ready in time. So I thought, well, I have to do something basketball-oriented. And so I thought, why not, because it's so normal, I get it, rent out the entire Staples Center to play a game of basketball with him and just his best guy friends. And then I invited a couple NBA players, and it was so much fun.
It's the best.
You could have gotten him one of those little plastic basketball nets.
Yeah. You put it over the door frame.
Toys R Us.
Or in the bathtub. Yeah.
And what was so cool was they had the guys filming it, so they would do the replays. Like, everything was like a real NBA game, and the real refs and cheerleaders. It was really so special.
Was Jack Nicholson courtside? I think you'd have to kick Jack Nicholson out. Every time they open up the Staples Center, they're like, shoo, get out of here.
Also, if it was like a real Lakers game, Kobe wouldn't let anyone else shoot. Now, Kim, I want to talk to you about your book.
It's riveting.
Of course it is. And that's because it's 445 pages of pictures of you.
Of me.
Yeah. So this book, Selfish, I want to get to some deeper philosophical questions. That is the name of the book, Selfish. Do you have a philosophy of the duck face or a philosophy of the hot dog legs?
Well, if you notice that at the beginning of the book, towards the middle, there's a lot of duck face going on. Mm-hmm. In recent years, I'm like too cool for duck face, so that doesn't happen. But, you know, it's just really, I mean, I get it. It's like a bunch of selfies. It's silly, but it's all my memories. And I've been taking photos not only of myself, but of just my environment and where I'm at and my friends. I thought it was just, you know, selfies are such a really, like, popular thing right now, and I thought it would be really cool to put them all in a book.
Has North ever, like, imitated you and have you caught her, like, trying to take a selfie?
Well, I had Chloe babysitting her maybe a couple weeks ago over the weekend one day, and they sent me a photo of themselves, and Chloe and North were doing duck lips.
Oh, no.
And I was That's like, oh, no. Come on.
Kim, you are such a fashion setter that by saying this, that you've eschewed the duck face, you know, I think actual ducks are no longer going to use it. I think it's over for foul
I'm
and
I'm kind
men.
Of over it. And Kim, there's been,
I'm sorry. Do you use a stick at all?
I don't.
It is definitely more challenging to take a selfie with just your hand.
Yeah.
A selfie stick, it's like 5 feet away by the time you take it. It looks like a normal photo.
I can't believe there's
what
a dude
so
making money off of that.
When I was at the basketball game party, some of the basketball players were taking selfies with us, and I was like, this is like using a selfie stick.
Right.
Now I know.
Because their arms are so long.
God gave them two selfie sticks.
Two selfie sticks.
At the end. I don't know.
As I'm now, you know, pregnant, and as I'm going to get bigger and bigger, the further away, the skinnier you look, so I might have to break it out.
Yes, exactly. Playing with perspective.
Yeah.
But tell me this. Tell me this is how Kim Kardashian works. You take a lot of selfies. They clog up your phone. You just throw the phone away, right, and get a new one from the drawer. There is no storing on an external hard drive for you, is there?
Absolutely not. You always have to toss it. Yeah.
Now, do you think who has taken more pictures of you in their lifetime? You?
Me.
Or the number one photographer?
You don't even have to finish. You don't have to finish. I don't need the rest. Me.
All right, Kim Kardashian, we have asked you here to play a game that we are calling...
Keeping Up with Kim Jong Kardashian.
So you are the most famous Kim in pretty much every country in the world except North Korea. And if the movie...
And that is fine with me.
Yeah. So we're going to ask you three questions about your celebrity rival, Kim Jong-un, who dominates the TMZ on the other side of the DMZ. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, which is Kardashian Castle's voice on their voicemail. Who is Kim Kardashian playing for, Bill?
Kelly Baker of Quincy, Illinois.
Are you ready to play, Kim?
Yes.
All right. Back in February, Kim Jong-un released a pamphlet with 300 new slogans for North Korea, including which of these? A, North Korea, the only country in the world. B, let us turn ours into a country of mushrooms. C, nothing. It's what's for dinner.
Oh, my God.
What do you think, Kim?
A.
Actually, they went with B. Let us turn ours into a country of mushrooms.
I don't even know what that means.
Right, I know.
Kim Jong-il, who's Kim Jong-un's father, predecessor, and mentor in Crazy, had many official nicknames. They included Generalissimo, Supreme Commander, and which of these? A, the unbreakable Kimmy Jong-il, Jimmy Kim Jong-imel, or C, the eternal bosom of hot love.
Oh, my God.
A.
Well, remember how confused you were with the mushrooms? Let that be your guide.
C.
Yes, it was C.
Yeah.
The eternal bosom of hot love. So last year, Kim Jong-un instituted a new law. Starting in March 2014, all male students had to do what? A, pick Kim Jong-un first in dodgeball. B, they had to change their name to either Courtney, Chloe, Kendall, or Kylie Jong-un. Or C, they had to get exactly the same haircut as Kim Jong-un.
Oh, my God.
Why do I think it's C?
It is C! The rule applies only to males who are students. Other males are allowed to choose from 10 state-sanctioned haircuts, which I know would be hell for you. Bill, how did Kim Kardashian do on her quiz?
She's a winner, 2 out of 3. Congratulations, Kim.
Congratulations.
Wow, I love your voice,
though. Oh, thanks, Kim. Tell Kanye hello. The Chicagoan.
Maybe a line available on the next album? I don't know. Kim Kardashian West's new book, Selfish, is on sale now. You could download her app, Kim Kardashian Hollywood, at the App Store, Google Play, and Facebook. Kim Kardashian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
this episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me and the following message are made possible by USA Network's new original drama, Complications, premiering Thursday, June 18th. From Matt Nix, the creator of Burn Notice, comes the story of a doctor who risks his own life to save a young boy. But when he learns that the boy is the son of a notorious gang leader, he discovers that saving lives outside the hospital may have unintended side effects. Complications. The new series premieres Thursday, June 18th at 9, 8 Central, only on USA Network.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Maz Jobrani, Amy Dickinson, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Mike Pesca.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill joins the Kardashian clan as Kimmerick. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Peter, this yes. week, Los Angeles hosted CatCon, the world's best and hopefully only cat convention.
I know, I was there.
One of the central issues discussed at CatCon was calling for an end to what harmful stereotype?
They called for an end to the crazy cat lady stereotype.
Correct.
Yeah.
The crazy cat lady must end.
As the only person, you know, on the panel who might be one day a crazy cat lady, I should live so long. So what are they going to do to dispel the...
I think it's mostly just the label, the slur, and don't use the phrase crazy cat lady and just call them what they are, unmarriable, sexless spinsters.
With cats. You know, a better... the other thing they need to dispel about cats is that they don't have nine lives.
No.
I had kids in the car that were like, cats got nine lives, right? And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Someone's got to tell kids that they don't.
Yeah.
Because then they're going to, you know, they go, oh, throw him off the balcony. He's got eight to go.
Yeah, we can do this 7 more times.
Amy, good news. You can now get a special MasterCard branded with what?
Oh, wait. It's a group.
Never mind the Bullocks. The late fees will get you, though.
Oh, is it Spinal Tap?
No, it's not. It's the real Spinal Tap.
The real Spinal Tap. But wait, I can't remember the group. It's.
Ready? Does that help?
All right, Peter, you look like you know the answer. You want to answer it?
It's the Sex Pistols.
The Sex Pistols. That's right. I knew it.
It is the Sex Pistols. Virgin Money is offering two different Sex Pistols branded credit cards in what's probably the most unlikely corporate tie-in since NWA's Dockers with Attitude.
The only way this can be cool and punk is if you use this credit card after you've destroyed the store. You know what I'm saying? You just go into a Gap and like, oh, this is how I feel about your clothes. And put it on this credit card. Would that be great?
Yeah.
I'll get miles.
Yeah.
I'll get miles on that card.
I'll get points. Before I destroy your store, do you have a loyalty program? All right. Let's destroy the store.
Boy.
Hey.
Peter, scientists in Australia have discovered a new species of marsupial with a lifespan of about a year. The reason its life is so short is because at a certain point, the male does what until it dies?
Oh.
Oh, man.
At a certain point, the male just... tries to reproduce until it dies?
That is correct.
Oh!
What is there a name for this?
It's a bangaroo, yeah. It's actually called the dusky antechinus. It literally does it until it disintegrates.
The whole animal or just the thing?
I will now quote from IFL Science. They inflict ulcers, fur loss, and even internal bleeding on themselves. Their bodies disintegrate as they're stripped of nutrients to fuel a two-week orgy, which is also Panama City, Florida's new motto.
I feel, who's sitting there watching this? Doesn't matter if you're the scientist, you're like, hey, you gotta watch. There's gonna...
It's all right, dude. My old job was testing camel piss. Yeah.
This is great.
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And we have just added some more seats to our first ever show at the beautiful Mann Center in Philadelphia, and that's on July 9th. And be sure to check out How to Do Everything. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to make your cat the most beautiful cat in the world.
Aww.
Hello there. You're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, I'm Chris Brown from Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
How you doing, Chris? What do you do there in Chapel Hill?
Oh, I'm a student, and I also have a video production company.
And is it at the UNC Chapel Hill?
Yeah, at the UNC, yeah, North Carolina.
Well, that's good. It sounds like you're a busy guy there. I want to welcome you to the show, Chris. Bill Curtis is going to read three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two limericks, you are a winner. And here now is your first limerick.
The caffeine and crushed ice are a trappuccino. Our new drinks are just sugary pappuccinos. We blend and we stir up 12 ounces of syrup. You'll get sugar shock drinking our...
Frappuccino.
Frappuccino it is, well.
Frappuccino. Starbucks has unveiled its new Frappuccino summer menu, and it looks like what picnic ants would write if you asked them to invent a new food pyramid. Flavors include red velvet cake, cotton candy, caramel cocoa cluster, cinnamon roll, lemon bar, and honey nut clusters of heroin. The drinks are offered in sizes grande, venti, and type 2 diabetes. Here is your next limerick.
Dads don't want a Norm Mailer gift, nor oars from some old sailor's shift. On this Dada's day-day, give albums by Tay-Tay, because fathers sure love...
Taylor Swift,
you are smart.
Taylor Swift, indeed.
Very good.
13-year-old girls aren't the only ones who love Taylor Swift. According to John Kovach at the University of Rochester's Institute of Pop Music, Taylor is a big hit with dads, too. Kovach knows this because he interviewed a real dad, John Kovach. When asked to assess the scholarship in question, John Kovach's employer, the University of Rochester, said... You are never, ever, ever getting back your tenure. And here now is the last limerick.
Of all ladies, the Dolly is fond. He hopes karma will duly respond. Reborn in Tibet, he might be a brunette, but he thinks he'll come back as a...
Llama?
As a blonde.
Blonde, oh.
He thinks he'll come back as a blonde. Traditionally, the Dalai Lama is reincarnated as a young boy, but this time around, His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama is threatening to come back as a, quote, mischievous blonde woman. He told that to the Times of London. Supporters have already created a Facebook page for, quote, the blonde Dalai Lama, and dads everywhere are eagerly awaiting the arrival of Her Holiness Taylor Swift Lama. Bill, how did Chris do?
He still got 2 out of 3, so you won, Chris. Good for you.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Goodbye. Bye. Now on to our final game. It's lightning fill-in-the-blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can correctly answer. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Amy and Maz each have 2. Peter has 4.
Okay. We flipped a coin. Maz has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. On Thursday, it was reported that blank was stepping down as head of 21st Century Fox.
Rupert Murdoch.
Correct. At the Belmont Stakes on Sunday, American Pharoah became the first horse in 37 years to win the blank.
Triple Crown.
Correct. Hundreds of bikers gathered outside a courthouse on Monday to protest the continued detention of gang members involved in the massive brawl in blank.
Texas.
Waco, Texas. Waco. That is right. On Wednesday, the Library of Congress named Juan Felipe Herrera the new blank.
I don't know. Poet Laureate.
That is correct. Sure, Poet Laureate. According to police, a man who broke into a house in New Mexico blanked before fleeing the scene.
He went to the bathroom.
He baked a potato and then raked leaves. Citing the ongoing corruption scandal, blank announced they were postponing the bidding for the 2026 World Cup.
FIFA.
Correct. 80 years after her disappearance, new footage was discovered this week that showed blank just before her final flight.
Amelia Earhart.
Correct. A man in Beijing is recovering from minor injuries after he got drunk and blanked.
After he got drunk and tried to be like a marsupial.
Tried to kiss a snapping turtle. The man who was wandering through an open-air market in Beijing decided it would be a good idea to drunkenly pick up a live snapping turtle and give it a little kiss. Unfortunately for him, the turtle was looking for a bit more of a commitment and bit down on his lips. But it's like the old saying goes, you have to kiss a lot of turtles before you realize you're remembering the old saying wrong. Bill had Maz there.
He got 6 right. That's pretty good. 12 more points, and now he has the lead with 14.
All right. Amy, you are next. Fill in the blank. Officials in Texas say the police officer who pulled his gun on teens at a blank has resigned.
A swimming pool.
Yes. On Thursday, a 17-year-old from Virginia pled guilty to aiding blank.
Oh, ISIS.
ISIS, yes. On Monday, police investigated a possible robbery at the home of Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank.
C. Clark.
Actually, his name is Blank. Arthur Blank. Stan Wawrinka upset Novak Djokovic to win the blank on Sunday.
The French Open.
French Open, correct. Known for his role as Dracula in 100 or so movies, famed character actor Blank passed away at the age of 93. I shall accept it. Christopher Lee. After a serious police investigation, officials report that the 2 valuable pieces of art that went missing from the Boston Library were blank.
They were found.
They were found about 80 feet away from where they were supposed to be. Last month, 2 valuable prints worth over $600,000 went missing from the Boston Library. The police opened an investigation. Suspects were questioned, and eventually the president of the library was forced to resign. But this week, officials discovered that the pieces hadn't been stolen. They were just misfiled about 80 feet away from where they were supposed to be. Now, for context, the paintings were of manila folders, so that explains some of the mix-up. Bill, how did Amy do?
She got 5 right for 10 more points, a total of 12, but Maz still has the lead.
All right, so Bill, how many does Peter need to surpass Maz?
5 to tie, 6 to win.
All right, Peter Gross, this is for the game. You ready?
Gonna get 4.
That's the spirit.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, former House Speaker Blank pled not guilty to charges of lying to federal agents.
Dennis Hastert.
Correct. Yeah. On Wednesday, the EPA took the first steps towards regulating greenhouse gas emissions from blanks.
Airplanes.
Airplanes, correct. The first person to show up at a Rick Santorum campaign event in Iowa on Monday was also Blank.
The only person.
Yes. Thanks to the $300 million he made for fighting Manny Pacquiao, Blank topped Forbes' 2015 list of the highest paid athletes.
Mayweather.
Yes, Floyd Mayweather. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime and Fun Home were the big winners at this year's Blank Awards.
Tony Awards.
The Tonys, right. In an article reporting on a pitcher who could throw from both the right and left side, the East Oregonian newspaper declared blank pitcher makes debut.
Oh, bisexual.
Amphibious pitcher makes
amphibious
debut.
Right, right. Yeah. Ambidextrous.
Yeah. Oakland A's new pitcher, Pat Vendetti, has a unique skill. He is ambidextrous, meaning he can throw pitches equally well using either hand. He is not, however, able to breathe underwater. Now, for those who are curious, there hasn't been an ambidextrous pitcher in Major League Baseball since Greg Harris in 1995, and there hasn't been an amphibious pitcher since the red-spotted newt won the 78 Cy Young Award. Bill, did Peter do well enough to win?
You know, he did well. He got five right, ten more points, total of 14, which means that he and Maz are co-champions.
All right. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, benevolent overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler Green. Our intern is Jesse Love Me Butender. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to John Zajac and Les Stolarczyk at Chase Bank. Special thanks this week to Gary Yeck. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ava Walchover and Miles Dornboss. Technical direction by Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Nguyen. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike Danforth. Now, panel, who will Lindsey Graham choose to be his first lady? Maz.
Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez made Bennifer. Brad and Angelina make Brangelina. And if Lindsey Graham wins the presidency, he and his first lady, Viola Davis, will form Violin.
Amy Dickinson.
I'd like to nominate Marge Simpson for the job because I hear she and Homer are having problems.
And Peter Gross.
Daenerys Targaryen from Game of Thrones, because only in a fictional world where someone is the mother of three dragons could Lindsey Graham become president.
And if any of those ladies are chosen, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Maz Jobrani, Amy Dickinson, and Peter Gross. And thanks to all of you for listening. I am Mike Pesca, host of the Slate podcast, The Gist, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.